This podcast is about office pranks. Here we go! What's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Keeping It Raw. I am Raw, and today I wanted to share office pranks that I have done, and I am retiring. I'm officially retiring these pranks. Oh, man. Knowing that I'm retiring these pranks is heartbreaking to me. But anyway, we've got to grow up. We've got to do more pranks. We've got to do new stuff. And when I say I'm retiring it, it's like a team, okay? If you know anything about a sports team, when they retire a jersey, it just means that team doesn't have that jersey anymore. It doesn't mean that other teams can't have it. You can still do these pranks. I'm retiring them from my repertoire. That sounds like a big lead up, doesn't it? Anyway, so let's go over these. These are pranks that I have done. I can't take ownership rights to these pranks. I'm sure I came up with none of these, okay? So the first one, let's talk about Mr. Lyons, okay? So I work in an office environment, and so these kind of things will work well. So working in an office environment, you know, taking a message for a coworker, that kind of thing happens naturally. You can even do this at home, I guess. But I Googled the phone number to the zoo, and then I would write it on a sticky note and say, Mr. Lyons called you. He wants you to give him a call back. So they'd go and call the number, you know, North Carolina Zoo, how can I help you? I'm trying to reach Mr. Lyons. Like, I've done this, like, so many times. Like, once a year, usually around April Fool's is when I'll do this crap. But it's hilarious. The other one was Mr. Glass. I just get a auto body repair shop or a glass repair shop like Safe Light or AAA Glass. I don't know. But I would get it, and then I would, you know, say, Mr. Glass called for you. You need to call him back. Okay. And one time... one of my coworkers, her name was Jessica. Her name was Jessica, really? What is it now? She's a coworker. She was an ex-coworker, I should say. So her name is Jessica. And it was so when she worked with me. Anyway, so I left her a message and I was like, Mr. Glass called you. You need to call him back as soon as possible. She go and call. Yeah, AAA Glass Repair. Trying to reach Mr. Glass. And the guy was like, who? She said, Mr. Glass. Mr. Glass called for me. I'm trying to reach Mr. Glass. It's like, this is a glass repair company. And she's like so confused. She's like, okay, bye. I was like, got him. Got him. All right. So here's another one I'd done. I would take somebody's cell phone and I would like that was on their desk or in their desk or whatever. And I would pull out the first drawer of their desk and I would tape it underneath that first drawer. Okay. So the only way you'd be able to access it is if you pulled out the first drawer and reached underneath and grabbed it from, you know, it being taped up under the drawer. Like, and then you can easily slide it in so it's not noticeable at all. And then I would call the phone, make sure it's, you know, not on mute. And I would call the phone and they'd go crazy, like opening their desk drawers, like trying to find where their phone is. Like one lady, she was she was freaking out because she was like, I hear it. You guys hear it too, right? Where is it? And she's flipping through her desk, like all under all her stuff, under her paperwork and all her supplies and junk. And she just can't find her. Anyway, that was awesome. Oh, the paperclip one. Okay. So the paperclip one was one where I would put paperclip. So this works on like big printers, you know. So yeah, you can usually lift up the top and you can scan documents or you can run documents in through it at the top or, you know, whatever. So what I did was I would take a couple paperclips and make like 3 or 4 copies of it. And then I would take more paper clips, like 10 more or 20 more or whatever. And you can just keep making more copies of paper clips. Okay. then I would take those copies of the paper clips and I would put them in the new paper tray so that if somebody went to print something, it would print with the paper clips and whatever they were trying to print. Okay. So if I lost you, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to rewind and listen to that part again. But, and so eventually after, and so what I would do is I would spread them out. So the first one would have the paper clips. Five more down would have another copy with paper clips. You know, 10 more down would have a bunch more paper clip, you know, copies. And so when they went to go check the feeder, they would pick up the paper and it would be a new sheet. Like, it's not in this, you know, blank empty paper. It's not on the blank sheets. So it must be in the printer somewhere. And so this one lady, so I had done this a couple times, and one lady, she thought that the computer was, of course, malfunctioned. So she went to try to call our IT department to be like, something's wrong with this printer. There's paper clips in here. And it's just making copies of paper clips, all my paperwork. And like one thing that I didn't think about was the fact that there might actually be important things that they were trying to print. And so I was like totally ruining their batch of important documents by putting, you know, paper that was having a bunch of paper clips on them. Anyway, poorly explained. Sorry about that. And so then what I did was I put it over to our fax machine, which was a separate machine at that time, and did it there. And so when she started seeing it in that machine, she really freaked out and was like, it's magnetizing to everywhere, all the other printers. And everybody is dying laughing because they've picked up on it by now, but she hasn't. It was awesome. Yeah, so then she calls IT department, and that's when I ended it. I was like, no, it's just a prank, you know. And then I pulled out all the sheets, and then she was like, you got me. Yeah, that was good stuff. This other time, me and my boss, we went to a church with a guy that was a cop, and we knew that one of our coworkers, and so every time he would see us driving, he would like put on his lights behind us as like a joke, and would be like, it was cool and funny. Anyway, so she, I got to do a podcast on my ride along I had done. Oh, I had done a ride along with one of my friends who's a cop, and like it was so fascinating. Like every part of it was awesome. And anyway, so I brought that up because that would be an awesome podcast, sharing what happened that night. It was like a 12-hour shift, but it was full of stuff. It was awesome. Anyway, back to my story. So one of my coworkers had been involved in a hit and run. Somebody hit her car in a parking lot, and she had called the cops and made a report and everything. So weeks later, you know, our friend is coming by the office to say, you know, what's up. He's a cop. He happened to be in uniform that day. So we're like, oh man, when you get here, there's this lady at the front counter, and what we need you to do is we need you. She was involved in a hit and run. Like somebody hit her car, but I need you to, do it backwards. So I need you to think that she's the suspect. I need you to make her think that she's in trouble. So he's like, all right, I got it. So we gave her name, and he walked in and was like, yes, I'm looking for a so-and-so. We're like, yeah, that's her right there, you know. He's like, are you so-and-so? She's like, yeah. Were you involved in a hit and run recently? Yes, I was. All right, what I need you to do right now is I need you to turn around, put your hands behind your back right now. You're going to be under arrest. And she's like freaking out, but she's complying, which is like made us feel horrible because she's just shocked, right? We're thinking like, but she was like horrified by it. Like it really bothered her. And she was like complying and putting her hands behind her back. And of course, he didn't actually cuff her or anything like that. I don't think he even took the handcuffs out, but it was hilarious. Like, and then we're like, no, and he was joking, and she was like, oh my god. She was like, I thought I was in trouble, I thought I was getting arrested, but you know, do you know anything about this case? And we're like, no, that's our friend, we're pranking you. Like it was part of, because she didn't anticipate that we had set it up or anything, but she was like Oh, okay. So you're not actually here about my case. Like, do you know how I can find out about what happened to this guy that hit my car? All this kind of stuff. But it was great. But it got me thinking about because at that same office is where I had gotten robbed, and I talked about that in one of my podcasts before. But I was thinking about like my laptop. I had carried my laptop in an airport once. Like on a trip, I was probably going to California or something. Anyway, I'd taken a trip and took my laptop. Of course, you got to be able to watch your movies or whatever during the flight because it's a long flight. So I took my laptop, and man, it was a great laptop too. It was brand spanking new. And I took my laptop on the plane. They kind of tell you, if you leave any, if you see any suspicious items, if you see people, turn them in. Report it immediately if you see people leave items unattended, bags, things like that. Anyway, so I get on the plane, get to San Francisco, get off the plane, and I had forgotten my laptop, of course. And I didn't realize I forgot the laptop till like the next day or something. And I was like, man, what? I was like, man, I forgot my laptop. Anyway, but I remember getting off the plane. And, of course, when you get off the plane, there's like 30 minutes where you're just sitting there, you're just waiting for something to happen, waiting to be able to get your carry-ons and walk off the plane and waiting on everybody else in the rows in front of you to leave. So what happened in this case was I was walking through the airport. Of course, I got the bags that I could remember. I did remember. Laptop was there. And I just remember walking through the airport like it was yesterday. I remember walking through the airport. Going on the loudspeaker. Does anybody leave an item behind on the intercom of the whole airport? If you left an item behind, if you left a bag behind, report yourself immediately so we can reunite, your personal belongings. I just remember thinking, what kind of idiot left their laptop? What kind of idiot would leave, just walking through there, what kind of idiot would leave their laptop behind? It was me. It was me. I was the idiot. Oh, man, that was a horrible, horrible experience. But I do love going to San Francisco. I went there once and I tried lobster there. I tried lobster there for the first time. Hated it. It was disgusting. But I was so anxious about it. I was like, man, I've got to try this lobster. You hear nothing but good things about it typically. And, of course, I also had heard that they were like the cockroach of the sea kind of thing. So I was pretty excited though, because I know, that's something that rich people enjoy. And I'm like, well, let's live like a rich person and try this. Yeah, it was disgusting. And so what I did, I'll tell you what I did was, I got in their tank and was able to sneak one out the door. I was like, you know what, buddy? I can't say much for my life right now, but I'm going to set you free, okay? Because you deserve more than this tank of lobsters. So I got him, and I rode the bike probably 3 blocks into the woods. And I was like, I'm going to set you free. And I went to the woods and set him free. And then I learned years later that there's nothing about the woods that is good for a lobster. So, I probably ruined his life, actually. It's like, I gave my life. I was willing to sacrifice my life for you. And you killed me in the woods because you ignorantly left me there. Sorry about that, lobster guy. Now, my son, he would never try lobster. My son is the pickiest person I ever met. Like, I might not like things, but I'll at least try things. Levi will smell things and be like, nah, I'm good. It could be something that smells good, like a chocolate cake. And he's like, I don't like it. And so if it doesn't smell like fried chicken or if it doesn't smell like fries, he's not into it. So, yeah, sometimes I'll just make up things. I'm like, if you don't behave, you're going to catch Ebola. If you don't behave, you're going to catch salmonella, And I was like, you know what? Let me see how far I can get with this. So I started making up Italian dishes for him. And if you don't behave, you're going to catch ravioli. You're gonna catch beef stroganoff if you don't calm down. He goes to the doctor for his annual checkup. He's like, doctor, how do I get stroganoff, beef stroganoff? Well, what you do is you get some water and get it to a boil and throw it in there. I said, no. This was just a joke. Calm down. This is just a joke. He's not trying to become a chef. I was wondering about that. Why was he asking me that? You're a doctor, you should know everything. But you know how people like to reminisce, and every time somebody does that, their voice goes high, the pitch of their voice. You remember when, back in the day, I mean, you remember when, goes high pitch. So I was remembering, I remember my dad. Oh, he had gotten mad at me one time. I had, you know how you always forget ceiling fans when you're having a good time? One time I was with my buddy. He was, we were playing, I don't know, we weren't playing at all, actually. We were just at his house, and I decided that I was going to take one of those Christmas roll cardboards. Okay, all the Christmas paper was off. It was just the cardboard roll. And I slammed it against his knees as hard as I could. He was so mad, he got up, grabbed that thing, and tried to swing at me. But when he did, he forgot the fan was up there and busted a light bulb, and we got in trouble. I remember one time my dad, he had lost his job. He had, man, he had been working there a long time. And I grew up with a bunch of kids. There were five of us growing up. And I remember one time dad, he had lost his job, and he came home and was like, "I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to let two of you go. I just lost my job." It wasn't bad for me. I just, my brother, I mean, he had been with the family for 8 years, so it's pretty tough. Got to be pretty tough on a kid having to leave. You remember when? You remember when you got pulled over for the first time? Man, that was tough. That was a tough moment. Some kids, they get pulled over now, and they're just like, "They don't care. It's whatever. So and so is going to pay for it. I'm going to get out of it somehow. I'm going to hire a lawyer." You know, that kind of thing. It's pretty crazy, actually. But man, that was a crazy memory. You ever wonder if cavemen ever reminisce? Like cavemen, you know, back in the day in the Stone Age, just reminiscing. It's just, it's got to be a thing, right? Like, you remember when? What's that got to be like? I was speaking of reminiscing. I remember back in the day when, okay, so man, we were talking about this yesterday, 2001, April, September 11, 2001. That was almost 18 years ago. Isn't that crazy? I remember that after that happened, you know, the CIA and the FBI had awards out for his capture. You know, if he had information leading up to the arrest of this terrorist, Osama bin Laden, then they would give you a $2 million reward. I was like, man, $2 million, that's crazy. That's crazy. I'd love to do that. I'd love to have my name in the hat on that one, right? So I would call up the State Department. This I remember it like it was yesterday. Call up the State Department, and I'd say, "Yeah, this is Raul again. And Osama, I have it on good authority this time, is in a cave 50 miles north of Pakistan, 82 degrees latitude, 52 degrees longitude. Let me know if you get him." And I would do that every day because what did I have to risk? I was just, it was just a guessing game to get money. And eventually they got him. No thanks to me because I had given up on my, oh man, life changes sometimes, and you lose the chance to win $2 million because priorities change. How dumb was that? Man. So anyway, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. I really enjoy knowing that you guys are a part of this. You guys are special to me, morons. You guys are a significant breed, and I really appreciate it. Man, I feel so. And I'm really humbled to know that you listen, ignorant. And I think that I put together a well-crafted show, winging it, and I really do think that you're in for a treat in most of these podcasts, suckers. Anyway, I had made up all these jokes myself, Kevin Nealon, and I appreciate you guys giving me the chance to listen in. So thanks for listening, and I hope you have a great day. Thanks for keeping it raw, jokers, and bye.